Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that, which is always present but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, overcoming barriers and gaining a sense of the one humanity. Before we start, I want to mention that later on we'll have a special offer for you from Lucis Trust, but we'll explore that in a little while. Meantime, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. She wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. Every racial and national experience is a means to break the bonds of separatism and prejudice, leading to a release into the freedom of humanity itself. What does Alice Bailey mean by the freedom of humanity?
Well, the last program that we had discussed glamour. If people remember, we were focusing on glamour and also on the glamours that impede our understanding of citizenship as an affiliation with the entire world. And the problem of so many people is identifying with a very small group or a nation or a tribe or a religion or an ethnic group or a religious affiliation and saying, that's who I am, and not recognizing that they are part of the one humanity. So this discussion today is a continuation of that idea. Because the writings of Alice Bailey say that every spiritual aspirant has to develop complete freedom from racial limitations and has to break down the separative barriers in their consciousness. In other words, these don't just evaporate, these barriers, these prejudices and biases that every human being holds have to be deliberately destroyed by the spiritual aspirant, which I find a very interesting realization. They don't just disintegrate with spiritual growth. We have to take them in hand and destroy them deliberately and say, that is not who I am. I am not that limited view of the world. I am not that limited recognition of my humanity. And this opening thought is implying that the overcoming of these barriers is a kind of a release. It produces a freedom, a liberation into the whole of humanity. That's how I see it. I don't know how you understand it.
Well, yes, it's related to the whole idea of freedom and just what we mean by freedom, and especially it's pertinent to life in this country, because we're so freedom-loving, so to speak, and sometimes I think we become imprisoned by the whole idea of freedom that we have built up in our minds. It's become such a glamour in some respect that we're really imprisoned by this idea of freedom. And part of the imprisoning effect is this emphasis upon our national trait or some ethnic group which we belong to or some religious faction which we belong to. And so it's these kind of barriers that we build up around ourselves that really limit us, our understanding of freedom.
We talked not too long ago about the glamour associated with the idea of karma and reincarnation. And the writings of Alice Bailey point out that just because we're living in a particular incarnation as a particular ethnic or religious group doesn't mean that our roots, so to speak, as a soul, go deeply into that group. She points out that some people, yes, return into repeated incarnations within the same particular group or ethnicity over and over again. They are deeply identified on the level of the soul with some particular group. But there are many other human beings who might just be visiting, so to speak, the experience of being a Northern European white person or a Jewish person from the Sephardic background or an African American or a Cambodian or whatever. They're just passing through a particular incarnation in a particular racial or ethnic or spiritual religious group or whatever, a national identity that is really temporary from the standpoint of the soul. And that recognition, if it were really taken deeply into our consciousness, would tell us that just because we live this particular lifetime as, say, an American doesn't mean that that defines who we are. And we mentioned last time, or recently in one of our programs, Socrates saying, I'm not a Greek or an Athenian, I am a citizen of the world. I think that's the ideal.
That's kind of a new idea that's emerging, you might say, as humanity enters into this state of globalism that we're in now, and thanks to the communication systems and satellite communications and all of that, we get a better sense of this one humanity because we can see it on the TV and in the news every day, and what's going on in the other parts of the world. And they're just like us. I mean, they're not, we have the same needs and the same wants and the same desires. And so it's evidence that we're all cooperating and sharing the same kind of energies and qualities and characteristics that every person in the world has. And this is what we have to kind of grasp, that we are alike at the soul level. There is this oneness that draws us together.
There are so many books we see in the spiritual field today that offer guidance in figuring out who we are, discovering our true self. There's a famous one, for example, by Alan Watts, the Buddhist who wrote on the taboo against knowing who you are. And it struck me, this interest in figuring out who we are as human beings is perhaps a reaction to the fact that we've been looking in the wrong places, or we've been identifying with the wrong points, like race or religion or ethnicity or a cultural or social category. And the more we narrow our definition of who we are down to a smaller and finer point, I think the more we separate ourselves from the one humanity.
Absolutely. It's that emphasis upon the self or on the group that one belongs to that tends to focus all one's energies into this little point, and that acts as a barrier, as a point of friction often, arising between yourself and the group you're a part of and everyone else in the human race.
There was a wonderful comment that Mother Teresa made once. She said, I've traveled all over the world, and wherever I go, east or west, north or south, whoever I meet, rich people or poor people, it doesn't matter, she said, everybody is alike, everybody needs love. And that really struck with me. It's so simple. Maybe too simple for some temperaments, and yet I think we know in our deepest intuition she's right.
Absolutely, and she was a good example. She lived what she believed, and so she had no barriers in herself, and in that sense she was following the real teachings of Christ, I think you would say.
It's not just the great saints like Mother Teresa that realized this. So I had another interesting experience a few years ago. We were walking to the subway one morning, the usual part of the being one with the herd, rushing toward the subway in a great hurry. But I can remember going by a couple of workmen who were working on the electrical wiring in the subway tunnel. And they were of two different races. One of them was noticing all the people streaming by, and he was saying to his partner, black, white, Asian, black, white, Asian. He was remarking on the variety of races going by, and there was kind of an edge to what he was saying. Although he had a smile on his face, it seemed that he was vividly aware of the variety and differences of people. And his partner simply replied with a little smile on his face, yes, and they all need love. And it was one of those moments that just left me dumbstruck, because I raced by these two men who were workmen and heard these words of wisdom that have always stayed with me. It made me realize that you never know whom God will choose to speak through, and you should never underestimate the wisdom that lies within any of your fellow men. I thought it was an amazing revelation, and certainly if his partner didn't hear him, I heard him, and it's something I've always remembered.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, overcoming barriers and gaining a sense of the one humanity. We have a special offer from Luce's Publishing Company, and the offer is that we have one of the Alice Bailey volumes, the title of which is Ponder on This. It's Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, and it's available today for $16. And the discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. You do have to mention that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight, maybe a little post-it or something, or a little line. But what you have to do is send a check or a money order to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing. 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's a $16 check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, mention that you heard about it on Inner Sight. Ponder on This is one of the early books that I read, and I really enjoyed it because it's a cross-section of all the Alice Bailey works, and it gave me an idea of which topics I wanted to look at first, which I'd be more interested in. And once I found that once I explored those topics, I found out that it really led to my interest in other topics as well. So once again, the title, Ponder on This. And we also thank you for the support you've given us in the past, and we certainly hope that you continue to support us in the future. The financial support has come in both large and small donations, and that's what keeps us on the air. So please continue to do so. We'd like to stay on the air with you. So what you have to do is, for donations, you have to send them to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S for Lucis. Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also, there's a lot of people who ask for information about what Lucis Trust is all about. I guess a succinct way of defining Lucis Trust is that, it's not a religion. It's more of a spiritual philosophy organization, and people from all walks of lives have expressed interest and participate in our meditation meetings, and sometimes it leads to very interesting discussion. And I think the miraculous thing that I see about Lucis, having been to the meditation meetings and other meetings, is that they have a wonderful way of harmonizing diversity. So I don't know how they managed to do that. That itself is a miracle. But if you'd like to order the general package of information, just give us a call, 1-866-695-8247. You'll find a lot of literature in that general package, defining Lucis, telling you all about meetings and things. 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866. New York Lucis. We do have a website, and on the website you can key into a multiple number of radio shows, a whole library of archived radio shows on a variety of different themes from the Alice Bailey books. So if you'd like to do that, our website is www.lucistrust.org. That's www.lucistrust.org. Sarah, everyone who hears that comment that I make that we're not, that Lucis Trust is not a religion, they sometimes take issue with that and they say, well, Lucis certainly sounds like a religion. How would you respond to that? And maybe it can fit into the theme of your show today, too.
Yes, because we do want people to understand that our work is not affiliated with any particular religion. We're not anti-religion. It's not that. We have coworkers and people who are involved, I think, in all the major world religions. But we, in our work, are not affiliated with any particular stream of spiritual thought. And I think this is an important point to understand, because we can look at the world today and see how religions are so often associated with separatism and bias and even hatred. We see religions fostering terrible divisions and creating barriers between people. And how can that be an expression of divinity? I don't think it is. True spirituality sees the universality of the human experience, and I think the greatest teachers embody this. I'm thinking of the Dalai Lama, who himself is a Tibetan Buddhist, but who urges the people who are drawn to his teaching to just remain within their particular religious tradition and be better at it. Be better Christians or better Jews or whatever. He doesn't urge them to join the Buddhist faith. We think of the Buddha himself, who is above and beyond any particular religious tradition, or was in his time. Now a religion has developed around his teaching and is increasingly crystallizing itself, just as we see in Christianity. Christ did not come to found a religion. I don't think he came to found a way of living, and his teaching has become organized into a religion that has become a real roadblock for some people. And yet, behind the idea of the world savior is this deep and universal urge for a spiritual being who will come and speak to and identify with the whole of humanity.
And we have to realize this is going to be the focus when he does return. This is going to be the focus of his work. It's going to be the whole humanity. I mean, he's called the world teacher, and that includes everybody. So all religious expressions and all races, all creeds, whatever. And he has no particular barriers within his own consciousness to stand in the way or that will affiliate him with any particular religion. If he does, then that's going to limit the scope of his work.
Alice Bailey makes an interesting comment. She says it's a tragedy that Christianity has cornered the Christ, in the sense that Christianity has claimed the Christ for its own, and thereby leaving out all the people who do not want to consider themselves Christian. Because he himself said, "Other sheep have I, not of this fold. Them also must I bring." I don't think he meant bring them into the church. He meant bring them into the radiance of God. And the whole idea of the world savior is that he speaks and identifies with the whole of humanity. Alice Bailey wrote about the idea of the return of this world teacher, world savior, that is expected by so many of the world's religions, that it is the fire of love which he will bring. It's the message of the purificatory fire which he will sound. He will not teach an end purification. He will impart the fire which burns and destroys all barriers in man's nature, all separating walls between individuals, groups, and nations. And she finished up by saying, "Are you prepared as individuals to submit yourselves to this fire?" Well, I wonder if we aren't living through that fire in the world today.
Well, certainly there's plenty of fire in the past 100 years or so, the last two horrendous wars we've had and the many smaller wars. I mean, they're all kind of symbolic of the destruction by fire. And that's certainly ongoing in the world, and probably the heightened increase of terrorism around the world is also a symbol of that.
Well, yes, when we think back to September 11th, that was a trial by fire. And we can remember the blast of love that was released at that time, the almost universal love that radiated from all parts of the world toward the victims of that day, and more recently the terrible tragedy in Russia, and the heartfelt compassion that has gone out to the children and the victims, all the victims of that act of terrorism. This is part, I think, of what the fire of love is raging in the world. The barriers that exist between people have to come down.
And it's a very painful process because it's what is happening is the emergence or preparation for the emergence of a new kind of kingdom. Well, I mean, it's been described for thousands of years as the kingdom of God. That's not out in space somewhere. That's right here on Earth. And it's a new type of free human being, in other words, free from all these glamours and free from the barriers that hold back the light that is emerging. And it's going to emerge more so with every new generation.
I think we see it emerging in what is called by Alice Bailey the new group of world servers. It's this subjective network of people throughout the world that are spontaneously and actively devoting themselves to the upliftment of humanity. And increasingly we see these workers, these servers, expressing a complete or nearly complete lack of parameters to their sense of humanity. One splendid example is the group Doctors Without Borders. Literally, their name contains the idea they do not have borders on their service. They don't recognize national divisions or limitations to the help that they want to give.
And another one, of course, is the Red Cross and the Eastern equivalent, the Red Crescent. The Red Cross actually started out back in the middle of the in the 1870s as a medical team that would come into a battle scene and take care of all of the wounded, not just the wounded on a particular side. And so they had no allegiance to any particular king or ruler at that time. And this is the way been the basic philosophy of the Red Cross ever since. So it's kind of a universal recognition of treatment of human beings and their afflictions and needs.
And these are expressions of love, really active, potent expressions of love for one's fellow men. Alice Bailey said that we need to learn to give this kind of love in a daily, practical way, and to not remain in a theoretical understanding of what spiritual love is, because love, she said, is what breaks down all barriers. We know that the mind can reinforce barriers with its tendency to identify and distinguish and analyze. It has the tendency to strengthen barriers if it's not checked by the energy of love. And this love is straight from the heart center.
And it's a matter of gaining freedom from the control of these barriers that we have erected. They control our lives and the way we think, and so that the mind is necessary to bring that, the force of the mind, to gain control from the freedom, not control over its... Don't let them control the mind. It's letting the mind control those those great glamours.
Each week when we finish our program with the great invocation, there's a reference in the invocation to the door where evil dwells. That's a line that a lot of people have trouble with because they don't believe that there is such a thing as evil. But the writings of Alice Bailey say that evil is really the expression of separatism, which is the barriers that people create between themselves, and that it's kept open by humanity's selfishness and its hatred and its separateness, and by its continual reinforcing of racial and national barriers. And it will only come down with goodwill and with light streaming into the minds and hearts of all human beings. That's the way the door where evil dwells is sealed. So when we hear the great invocation, we can hold that realization in mind, and each of us can contribute to the eradication of the barriers among us. All is evil, she said, that drives the human being deeper into materialism and that works against the higher values of spiritual living and that endorses selfishness. Well, we can see these qualities at work in the lives of ourselves, I'm sure. And interestingly, we can see them at work in the family. So often we hear today about family values. Yes, but the family itself can be a kind of a separative unit. If the family is seen as a unit pitted against the world, that's the kind of thinking I'm talking about that we need to become more sensitive to and eradicate.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Luce's Publishing Company, which is the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. It's available now for $16. It's a nice offer because the discount is actually in the form of free shipping and handling. So in order to take advantage of that offer, please send a check or a money order for $16 to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And in order to get the discount or the free shipping and handling, you must mention that you heard about it on Inner Sight. And also, if you'd like that general package of information, all you have to do to get that is call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.